Acts chapter 19 tonight. Book of Acts chapter number 19. Subject tonight, often I don't preach on and often don't hear preached, but the way the times are and the way things are going, needs to be preached and put in a biblical perspective tonight. I titled the message tonight, Protecting Your Family from Evil. Protecting Your Family from Evil, and we're in the book of Acts, chapter number 19. And so let's go ahead and read Acts chapter number 19, and we'll start in verse 11, and we'll go down through verse number 21. And the Bible says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Verse 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Father, I do want to thank you tonight for your word. And I thank you, Lord, how you speak to the times. And I thank you, Lord, how you speak to the issues that we face in life, and you give us a perspective that is divine, a perspective that is yours. And I ask tonight that you would give us that so clearly, and we'd see tonight that there is a real enemy that we cannot see. Yes, Lord, I pray you'd let us see that picture of Satan and of his demons and of those things that we can't see. And we'd see tonight that they're as real as the things that we can see. Would you do a work in our minds and our hearts tonight? We need you desperately. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, we see the subtlety of Satan and the temptation of Eve and the eventual fall of mankind. And Adam and Eve were the very first family, folks. They were the very first husband, very first wife. And Satan immediately attacks them. Is there any wonder that today there is such a pressure and such a war on marriage? We think of the homosexual agenda. We think of the LGBTQ and all things that are going on there. Satan hates the family. I want to say tonight that the church would be destroyed without the family, because what makes a strong church is definitely strong families. And so we need strong families in Grace Baptist Church, and by the grace of God, we need strong families across this land. And across, and nonetheless, I want to say this, the home is under attack. The church is under attack. Individuals are under attack. Satan is a cruel enemy of mankind, and as a whole, he is purely and wholly evil. And I want us to see tonight here, as we start in verse number 15, here we have the gospel going forth in the city of Ephesus. Ephesus was a hot zone, folks, of black magic, of occult activity. It was a hot zone there where Satan's seat was. I believe it says in the book of Revelation, there every vice of mankind that was evil was in the place called Ephesus. Nonetheless, it's in the whole world. The Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness, and it's no wonder even today, many times we don't see it maybe as clearly as we ought to see it. But here's what happened here in verse number 15. It says, the evil spirit, no, let me put this thing, here's what's going on. They're hearing the gospel preached, the apostles are doing miracles, okay? People are getting healed simply by, Peter's apron. or anything. Things are happening to authenticate not only God's messengers, the apostles, but also God's message, the Word of God. If somebody could heal like that today, and let's say there's a fellow down in Milheim and he could heal like these guys were healing, they'd be lined up all over the world. You wouldn't even get through New York City to get here. All right? That's not going on today. That was to authenticate the Word of God. That is a time in which that took place. No doubt about that. Can God heal today? Yes, He can. Through answered prayer? No doubt about those things. But it is not happening through a Benny Hinn concert. All right, folks? That's what I'm talking about. Now, in verse 15, these Jews here were seeing that these apostles were casting out unclean spirits, okay, that were making people sick, no doubt. And here they try it themselves. Now watch it now, what happens. Verse 15, the evil spirit answered, because it says in verse 14, and there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priests. Notice something, he's chief of the priests. He's a religious fellow. And I want to tell you, people all around that neck of the woods would have thought, boy, that guy knows a lot about religion, right? That guy knows a lot about what's going on. And here he is with his seven boys. He comes up to this guy that's evidently demon-possessed, okay? And he says to the evil spirit, he says, where am I at here? Verse 15, and the evil spirit, no, verse 14, and there were seven sons of one Sceva Jew, chief of the priests, which did so. Verse 13, please. And there were certain vagabond Jews, exorcists, and took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, listen, no, he says, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. He was saying, demon, come out of this person. Watch what the demon says. Okay? He says, Jesus I know. That's what the demon says to the guy. Through this man. Jesus I know. Paul I know. But who are you? Who are ye? You see, the Bible says of the believer in Colossians 2 and verse 10, understand something. This is a person, it's speaking of here in Colossians 2 and verse 10, a person who is saved by the grace of God. When a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, yes, no doubt, they're on their way to heaven. Their final destination is heaven. But may I say tonight that he is transferred from a transformed from a child of the devil to a child of God. That is biblical salvation. You see, God doesn't see yellow, black, and white and racism like the whole world sees. No, God sees saved, he sees unsaved. Amen. He sees sheep, he sees goats. Yeah. If you're a sheep tonight, you know it. For sure. Amen. Because Jesus Christ came to save lost mankind from his sin. The Bible says about Jesus on the cross, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. No doubt when Jesus was nailed to the cross, he was a man of sorrows. The Bible certainly said that the sin of the whole world was put upon him. He became sin for us, the Bible says. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Here it is now. Surely, that's Jesus. Surely, he had borne our griefs. He had carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. Here, don't miss it. But he was wounded for our transgressions. What's transgression tonight? Sin. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. What's iniquity? Sin. He's bruised for iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. You know what that's saying there? That's saying everything we rightfully deserve. We deserve to go to hell. Every single one of us in the building tonight. Every single one of us out here tonight, there's only one that didn't deserve to go to hell, and that's Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to save us from our sin. He ended up going to hell anyway, to preach to the spirits in prison right there, all right? And then he rose from the dead. He was God's lamb. He was God's sacrifice to save us from our sin. And the Bible says in John 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God. Amen. Salvation's a choice. Amen. And when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives in you. But not only does he come and live in you, but you are then in Christ, all right? In the body, which is the true church. Here, we sit in Grace Baptist Church tonight. You know what? Doesn't make a lick whether you're a member here at Grace Baptist Church tonight. No, sir. It's not in this book tonight that makes you go to heaven because you're a member of Grace Baptist Church. It ain't going to do it. Amen. There's only one thing that's going to get you to heaven tonight, that is if you are in Christ. Amen. The true church of Jesus Christ are those that are saved, those that know the Savior's voice, those that can sit down at their dinner table at the end of the day and say, I know that I know that I know that I belong to Jesus Christ. That is biblical salvation. And you won't shake that. But dear friend, if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure that you know that you've received Jesus Christ, you ain't done it. Because let me say something. When Jennifer and I got married, the next day when I woke up with her, I knew we got married. There was no doubt about it. You know what? I want to say I knew it. Why? Because I entered into a relationship with a woman that I was going to spend the rest of my life with. And I was so glad. But here, that's the thing. When you enter into relationship with Jesus Christ, you know it. It's not hope so, maybe so, hope right. I'm going to heaven, might be going to heaven. Not in the Bible, folks. Amen. It's not in there, you see. It is an absolute concrete fact. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And so in Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says, "And ye," it's speaking to believers, to Christians, who know that they know that they know that they're going to heaven because they belong to Christ. They have a relationship with Him. "And you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." We're complete in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5 and Ephesians 5:8 call those that are saved children of light. Not darkness, children of light. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, partakers of the divine nature. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives in you. We're not worried about that temple over in Jerusalem anymore. No, sir. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and He rose from the dead, He then indwelt people. We're the temple of God. Amen. And it belongs to God. Do you belong to God tonight? Romans 8 and verse 16, God is our Abba, our daddy. Our daddy. It's a relationship with Him, our Father. Galatians 2 and verse 20, Christ lives in the believer. 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, we're redeemed. We're bought with His precious blood. There's ownership there. It denotes that. That's what salvation is. It's being owned by God Himself. Ephesians 2, 6 says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. There are that seat of authority there. Ephesians 1 and verse 21, far above all principality and power. Do you know what principality and power is? It's not the Center Hall Borough up here. All right? That's not what it is. Principality and power. You might say, well, this is the principality here. And that's no, it has to do with authority. But it is talking about demonic forces. Principality, demonic generals. Powers are those that are like privates. There's a hierarchy of those things. And you just look at our politics today and everything that's going on. It's chaos. Listen, God is a God of order. Satan is a creature of disorder and disarray. And he wants to ruin you and divide you just like what he wants to do with the nation. Right down to the church house, right down to the family. You see, that's what's going on. All right. 9 scriptures I gave you, and there's many more, that express that unchanging relationship or bond that a believer has with Jesus Christ. May I say tonight, there's protection from evil in identification with Christ. Knowing Him personally. There is no doubt. So, question is this. Why was this demonized man able to beat 8 grown men to the point where they were naked and wounded running out of that house? What? How? Number one reason, simply this. Satan and his demons are powerful. Right? Plain and simple. They're powerful. There's superhuman strength there. All right? You talk about these guys that are on meth or different things. I don't even know what the drugs are today, but you can't stop them. All these things. Listen, you can't stop them. All right? And there you got satanic forces working there and things going on. That's why we have the Second Amendment. Amen? It's going to say it. Just the way it is. All right? Number one, Satan and his demons are very powerful. But number two, why'd these guys get beat like that? Because they were lost, unsaved men that had no identity in the spiritual realm. The demon looked at them and go, Who are you? If you don't know Christ tonight, wide open to Satan and his attacks.
Right. Yeah.
Wide open to it. There's another realm, folks, that we cannot see. In Daniel chapter 10 speaks of the prince. There's that principality word again. The prince of Persia. That's a demonic general over the entire nation of Persia there going to work there in Daniel chapter 10. It talks about the prince of Grecia. That is a demonic general in charge of the nation of Greece Okay? And what happens there? Michael the archangel comes, and he's God's warrior angel, and they're fighting in a battle in the air. One glimpse, and there's probably other glimpses in Scripture, but that main one right there is in Daniel chapter 10. We get a glimpse of what happens in the air when one man prays. Daniel. You think prayer matters? You're right, prayer matters. Absolutely. We're not going to see this on the evening news, are we? We're not going to hear anything about this in the schoolhouse down here. We're not going to hear anything about those things. No, sir. It's going to be out of this book. We need to be so close to this book. We need to be married. Hey, listen, when you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you're married to Him, friend. Amen. You're close to this book, to His Word, and the battle goes on. You see, Satan wants his will to be done. He wants you tonight and me tonight to be in spiritual darkness, not knowing about Christ, not knowing about this word. He wants people to be deceived. He wants a new world order. That's what he wants. Okay? That's that Masonic Lodge movement, even here locally, that wants that thing. Goes up into the Shriners, all right? And then eventually that Illuminati, you say, oh, well, it's never been proven there's an Illuminati. Hogwash, all right? It is Satan's organization. It goes bam, 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 right down the line. That's the ones you can see. That's not the demonic forces that I'm speaking about either here tonight. All right? It's plain and simple. You see, Satan wants people to defile themselves in gross ways. Yes, sir. Homosexuality. Bestiality. All right? You know why Satan wants that tonight? Because man, you and I were made in the image of God. And Satan absolutely, positively hates God, and he hates you. He wants you to go to hell for all eternity because he is full of hate. You look at the hate crimes that really do go on. You look at that Islam. You look at those things that are happening. You look at some of the things that are happening in the United States of America. Hate is just raw hate. It's not this side, that side. No, hate's hate, man. And it comes from one. His name is Lucifer. Lucifer. Isaiah chapter 14, that's Satan himself. He masquerades himself as an angel of light and an angel of beauty and be able to give all this power and all these things. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight here. Nonetheless, he wants this new world order to come in. That's the United Nations. Later on this week, I want to preach a little bit about the United Nations and how it compares to Scripture. Maybe there'll be a little bit of prophecy involved in that. But I want to tell you what, the United Nations is nothing I want a part of. No believer that believes in Jesus Christ and understands his Bible wants a part of the United Nations and all those things that are coming down the chute. Praise God. Now, hey, listen, Donald Trump's whatever, whatever. But I praise God for a man to stand in the White House and says, you know, boys, we'll just pull out if we need to. Amen. Yes, sir. All right? I praise the Lord for that. That's a little reprieve here. Because with the Obamas and all the rest coming down the chute here, I'll tell you what, we were going a wrong direction. Right. A wrong direction as a nation. There's no doubt about that. Tonight, there is a battle going on tonight for your home, for your family, for our church, and the only way to hinder Satan's plans for you and yours is on your knees. That's a fact, you see, in prayer and meditation of God's word. Do you know this book? It's been said there's three kinds of people in the world. I'm sure you've heard this before. Three kinds of people in the world: those who are afraid, those who don't know enough to be afraid, and those who know their Bibles. Where are you at in there tonight? Do you know your Bible? Do you know it? There's a battle going on. We need to be in prayer, certainly, in meditation with God, just simply walking with Him. Adoring Jesus Christ, praying His Word, praying His will, being so close to Him that you can sense His every impulse upon your mind and your heart. Listen, there's a reason that hymn writer wrote that. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. There's a reason He wrote that. He had a relationship with Christ. Amen. That cuts beyond just going to church on Sunday and letting her fly the rest of the week. You know what I'm saying? I want to say this today. I want to say it. If you, when you trusted Christ as Savior, He didn't save you and die on a cross to make you His child so you could sit in Sunday morning church and that's it. No, no, no. You enlisted in an army. In a battle. I want to talk about that battle tonight. A battle. I know of an evangelist. I'm going to say some things tonight you may or may not heard. I don't know. We're going to compare it to the scripture, though, is what we're going to do. There's an evangelist by the name of John Ramirez. John Ramirez, I think he's been in evangelism now maybe 17 years. I do forget. Quite a while, though. But this man, before he trusted Jesus as his Savior, literally served Satan in the occult for 20 years in New York City. He was groomed by a family of witches and warlocks to be a high priest in their occult religion. He was known and feared for his satanic powers. He did rituals and spells and hexes on people to the point absolutely destroying their lives. He boasts about how he could kill people with his satanic power. The NYPD feared him. There's guys that knew that had that neck of the woods in that area and didn't really want to mess with that guy. One day a woman came to him, offered him some money, all right, to kill another woman with his voodoo power. And they were negotiating on a price and everything and whatever. And finally, they negotiated on this one price. By the way, it was $7,000. That's what it was. Okay. And then old John Ramirez found out that the lady that she wanted him to kill with his black magic was a Christian. And he said, "Don't worry about it. I'll do it for nothing." Interesting. Now, he thought to himself, "I'll show these Christians," right? He said, "You give me 21 days. He went, man, and he did his black magic, and he did all the put the pentagram there in the floor, whatever in the world they do with their black candles and all this different things. You think that's not real? I want to tell you, it's as real as I'm standing here tonight. There have been other undercover police officers that go into places of the occult and see these rituals and see what's going on. They see stuff floating in the air. They see different sacrifices and different things they do. And I will tell you, it is absolutely horrifying and horrible. All right? And the power's real. Nonetheless, I want to tell you something today. When you read your Bible and you say, "Oh, they worshiped idols. Oh, yeah, yeah." Do you think man's so stupid that he puts a rock or something down and they carve something out and he bows down to it and feeds it grass? That's what people do. Okay, they do that today. But do you think that back in the day when in the Canaanites and they were in all these idol worship sessions, that they were just bowing down to stones and statues? Hey guys, they saw manifestations of power through those things. Listen, that's exactly what the headhunter is doing over in Africa in the Congo tonight in their ceremonies with a big pot eating people. It's Satanism. It is not just, "Well, they just don't know any better. They need to be civilized." Hogwash. It's Satanism. That's all it is. And that's what was going on then. And that's what's going on now. And so, nonetheless, he does this voodoo stuff and he says, "Give me 21 days. After 21 days, the lady showed up and Ramirez has this big smile on his face and she says, "She's not dead yet." He goes, "What? What? Well, give me 21 more days. 21 more days." He back doubles the black magic, the candles, all the whole nine yards, whatever in the world they do, and conjure up these demons and everything else to kill this lady. You know what? It comes back to him in one of his seances. Voice comes to him. He says, "Her God is too strong." Amen. I want to tell you tonight, there is power in identification with Jesus Christ. Are you saved tonight? Amen. Do you know for sure that you belong to Jesus Christ? Jesus, I know. Listen, the demon said it right here in the book. Listen, this word is settled in heaven. Amen. This word is a perfect book. There ain't no other perfect document out there, but this book is. This old King James Bible is the Word of God. And it says, "Jesus I know and Paul I know." Who are you? And that demon beat the snot out of those people. Just like that. And they were naked and wounded. Out of there. These men were not saved. They were not in Christ. And they were wide open to satanic attack. I ask you tonight, are you in Christ? Are you in Him tonight? There's identification, or there's protection tonight in identifying with Him. Dads, you got little kids? Grandma, grandpa, are you praying over their families? Kids? Now, Ephesus, as we said, was a place given over to this black magic. No doubt about it. America's not far from it, I'm going to tell you right now. You think, yeah, I'm going to put some things out there. The CBS Evening News, eye on America. Listen, that's a satanic cult symbol. Don't care what you say. That's what it is. You go to your dollar bill and you see the triangle and the pyramid on there, the all-seeing eye, nothing but a cult symbol. Listen, that's Illuminati all over that thing. Okay? That's just the facts of the matter. And it's everywhere. And it's in Walt Disney's new movie with the big fat guy riding the waves and the surfing and all that. It's occult symbolism to the hilt. That's what it is. And guys, we've got to see it. We can't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Right, it pumped right into our home. Right into our kids' eyes and their minds. Oh, yeah, that's okay. You know what it is? It's a numbing down to bring in that satanic world order. Get people stupid. LGBTQ, oh, it's okay to be homosexual. It's just great. Oh, yeah, it's just an alternative lifestyle. No, it's not. It's of the devil. Amen. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I want to tell you, in Ephesus here, fear fell on all them, and Jesus was magnified, and the power of the gospel was taking effect, and there were folks coming. Look at verse 18. And many that believed and confessed came and showed their deeds. I want to say tonight, there's protection in coming to Jesus. Yes, for salvation. We just discussed that, for salvation. But also, Christian, there is protection for you to come to Jesus Christ every single day to meet with him in prayer. And meditating on this book, knowing who he is, worshiping him for who he is. They came, they confessed, they showed their deeds. These people brought in they brought their sin and darkness right out into the light. They're saying, hey, listen, I've done this and it's wrong. And the power of God began to spread across that land. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, that's folks that say, oh yeah, I'm good. Nope, I'm not. I don't lie. Oh, I didn't do anything wrong. Nope, I'm okay. If we say that we have no sin and we walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not the truth. But here it is. But if we walk in the light, that's honesty. That's integrity. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's only one thing to clean your slate when you stand before God Almighty that day, and it's the precious, clean the slate of sin. Whatever you've ever done in your life that you've sinned, boom, boom, boom. It'll be listed. It's in the books. Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation 19, I believe it is. Is that what it is? No, it isn't. It's 20. It's 21. Whatever it is, guys, it's judgment of God. Boom, 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 boom. One thing to wipe that slate clean, the blood. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ will wash it clean. It's this matter of simply receiving him as personal Savior and wash clean. Amen. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. There's no sin that the blood of Christ will not wash clean tonight. Now, these people came and they confessed and they repented. And may I emphasize tonight how desperately important it is for us to come, as I've already done that. We need to come and pour our hearts out before God. Men of Grace Baptist Church, some of you in leadership, you all have a relationship with this Bible. Tear stains in this thing. On your knees in the morning, in the evening, whenever it is you got time. Know your Savior so personally and intimately. That's what he desires. That's what he deserves. That's what he wants. He's a glorious, tender Savior. Do you know him like that? Do you know him? An attitude of, I bow to you, Lord Jesus. I absolutely need you this day. Focusing on, contemplating the person of Christ and his holiness, his love, his greatness. Meditating on and responding to his word. Waiting on him in silence. Sir, when's the last time you waited on God in silence just to hear an answer from his word in your mind and your heart? Matthew 6 and verse 6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Psalm 91:1 says, that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, prayer. Prayer. What Jesus doing in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. A quiet place. Listen, there's power in prayer. No doubt. You see, old John Ramirez, that fellow I was talking about there, you know what happened to him? He couldn't kill that lady. And you know what? Really, he felt like he was cheated. Because he thought, did he serve the highest God? But since he couldn't kill that lady, that was a turning point in his life. And he ended up saying, well, if he's not the most powerful, I'm going to go to the one who is. And he trusted Jesus Christ, his personal Savior. No, he's out of Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. He's an evangelist today. I believe he's been for about 17 years. And God has used him mightily as a preacher of the gospel. But Ramirez spoke of how he could go in to and cause absolute havoc in the lives of weak Christians. Put hexes on them, spells on them, spirits of depression, spirits of drug abuse, adultery, mental disorders, anger. He'd brag of splitting up marriages. He'd brag of splitting up churches. And he would often say of how he would walk the streets of New York in his slum area there where he was, and he would put hexes and curses on different apartment complexes and different projects, what it basically was. It was slum area. But what really stumped him is when there was two or three or four Christians standing on a street corner praying for that particular block or that particular area. He said he couldn't do a thing there. Do you think prayer matters?
Amen.
I want to tell you it matters. I don't know how many are out here in Penns Valley that are going to be like that guy doing that, but I can't say that. I mean, there's people into things. There's Wicca around, different kind of things, certainly a big Masonic Lodge presence and things like that. No doubt, we need to be people of prayer. Now, here's the thing. You say, preacher, but Satan can't touch somebody that knows Jesus as their Savior. They're saved by the blood. They're safe. Listen, folks, he can't take your salvation.
Amen.
But someone who is out of the will of God, oh, he can touch.
Sure.
Someone that is weak, someone who isn't serious about their walk with Christ, someone who goes to church and even has a Bible under their arm, but no prayer life, no true fellowship with Christ, no true devotion to him, he can touch. Why? How do you say that? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, and in context there, this goes down through there and says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. 2 Corinthians, was that written to believers or unbelievers?
Believers.
Satan can get an advantage of us. Ephesians 4 and verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Written to believers or unbelievers? Believers.
Amen.
We can give him place. Ephesians 6 and verse 11 talks about the wiles of the devil or the strategy, the trickery of Satan. Believers or unbelievers? Believers. James 4, 7, we're told to resist the devil. What if a Christian doesn't? How do you resist the devil? How do you resist Satan? What? You can't see him. You know how you resist him? The Bible says submit to God.
Amen.
Submit to the Lord Jesus Christ in what you're doing in your life. You having a hard time with a mother-in-law? She's giving you a real bad one? You know what? And I want to tell you, you're just mad as fire about this, and you just want to tell her a thing or two. Submit to God.
Amen.
Submit to God. Kindness. Even though you don't want to, even though she doesn't deserve it. Kindness.
Amen.
I'll tell you what. The Bible says a soft answer. No, grievous words stir up what? Anger. They stir up anger. But a soft answer turneth away wrath. Yep. Principles to live by. Again, Ramirez stated that Christians that had a meager prayer life, that knew nothing of prayer and fasting, that did not have a true walk with Christ, were easy prey to make their lives miserable. On the other hand, those that were sincere, had a sincere, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, his black magic was powerless. When's the last time you fasted and you missed a meal for the Lord Jesus? Prayer and fasting. Folks, that's real stuff. Don't you sense the need tonight to get serious about your daily walk with Christ? The old hymn says, take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. God's speaking to someone in here tonight that knows they need to get serious about him. How about it? What's God speaking to you about through his word tonight? Number one, protection and identification. Number two tonight, there's protection in coming to him. And three, and finally tonight, there's protection in house cleaning. You say house cleaning? Yeah. Look at verse 19 with me if you would. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. That's a house cleaning. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. They brought their books together and they burned them. Now, listen, far as I know about house cleaning, shortly after I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, God began to deal with me in the area of music. Okay, music is one of those avenues that the devil uses to get to the mind. Do you know how how can you prove that? Because the word music means, it's the root word is muse, to think. This is with your mind, okay? There's good music and there's bad music. It's not amoral, all right? There's the devil's music and there's God's music. Now, anyway, I was listening to good old Alan Jackson, and you say, well, what's wrong with Alan Jackson? Well, maybe some of his songs are pretty good, but a lot of them were talking about adultery, all right? You know? I was listening to Hank Williams Jr., you know? You ever listen to that guy there? All my rowdy friends, and I could name those things that I listen to. And listen, I want to tell you something. I like that stuff. In my flesh still today, I'd want to listen to that. I don't. But I want to tell you what. It's a pull for me. All right, Randy Travis. Okay. Supposedly he trusted the Lord, in later years. I don't know. But nonetheless, Tim McGraw. Froggy 98 and the whole nine yards. It's amazing to me how the young fellows would tell me and will say, yeah, well, Benny, you ought to hear this good song on Froggy 98. Okay, and by the way, the good song that I was told about, it had good words to it, okay? But the other 99 songs that's on Froggy 98 aren't worth a lick, okay? That's just how it is. And they're not, because it fills a person's mind and it makes adultery normal to you. It makes cheating on so-and-so's wife normal to you. It makes now the homosexual agenda normal to you. What are you listening to? What are you bringing into your mind? What are you bringing into your home? What are you getting desensitized to tonight? You see, it's an agenda. Boom, boom, boom. Yes, principalities. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I needed some house cleaning. I had a bundle of that stuff, man. And I didn't want to give it to somebody else and just corrupt them and throw the thing in the dumpster and burn it. I'm not sure what I did with it. I forget. But here's the thing. These folks were using curious arts. It's black magic. It's what Ramirez was into. Occultic things. It is in Penn's Valley. You see somebody dressed in all black and having their eye makeup and all different things that it's all black. And listen, that's happening down here at our school. Plain and simple. They're in Satanism. They're getting it somewhere by some higher ups. Most people in the occult religion that are higher ups are like professors and elites. Yes, sir. They have money. They can buy the drugs they need for their things. And drug abuse is big in the occult. Okay? Nonetheless, occult symbols and objects. The word occult means this: things hidden. Things in darkness. Black magic, occult practices, sorcery, they are curious arts. Occult symbols and objects can be in and around our homes, folks, and we not know it. Yep. Do you ever go up there to that store, I don't know if it's Home Goods or whatever it is, in State College, have all the Buddha statues? Don't buy Buddha. All right? Just let him up there. All right? You'll be bringing spirit in your home. You say, well, it's just an inanimate object and somebody made it of metal. No, No, I can't tell you how or what, but objects can carry a presence of evil. No doubt. They can. We think of Ouija boards. Tarot cards, if I'm even saying that right, all right? Statues of witches, vampires, zombies. All right, I think of the Catholic-like statues that everybody has of these things going. Listen, God said, watch, don't have any graven images. All right? There's a reason for that. Trolls. You look at the Catholic cathedrals and all the wicked demon-like things that are put atop across those things. They call that a church. Well, the Catholic Church is just so great. No, it's not so great. Why do you have the demons and all the gargoyles and all the things up there? Listen, is that peaceful? Jesus Christ, he brings peace to our lives. Not that kind of thing. We don't want no monster. See, and that's what these things are. And demons are just that. They are a personality, and they can speak through people. Seen it. Scared to death of it. Now, gargoyles in ladies' flower beds, trolls, pixies, fairies, all right, elves, African-American masks, African masks from like the Congo and different things. That's the headhunters and different things. You don't want one of those in your wall for a trophy. They'll carry presents. Might be why you're depressed, sir. I don't know. You talk about Native American things, like the peace pipe. That's a dope smoking tool anyway, okay? But nonetheless, that's what it is, peace pipe. Because they were witch doctors. Listen, why is it that the witch doctor over in Africa can walk on coals and not hurt his feet? He really can do that because the demon's on him. They do it, all right? So could the American Indians when they were here. All right, there's satanic power in ritual. There's satanic power in these inanimate objects and these things that these people use. That's why when you see in your Bible, and I hope he gives you a new eye for your Bible, and you say, oh, they were an idol worship. Oh, that's no big deal. No, there's demonic manifestations and sacrifices, even human, that go on, even today. We know they threw their children in the fire. It says that. Was it Moloch, I believe it was? Yeah, screaming. They chant. A lot of chanting in those things. A lot of different things. And I'm going to tell you, it goes on. I was in college. I want to tell you something about the Masonic Lodge. There was a book out by Albert Pike. All right? And by the way, it's pretty tough to get hold of. All right? I don't know if you maybe buy it on the internet. Whatever. You don't want it. But I'm just saying this. It was Morals and Dogma in Freemasonry by Albert Pike. Jennifer and I were in college. We had that little trailer in Ellenboro, North Carolina. And the guy there was crippled up that we were renting from, and he wanted us to mow the yard. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'll mow the yard for you. I go out in the shed, and I hop in there and get in the lawnmower. We're just learning some of this stuff in school at the college about the Bible and about some of these cult situations and everything. I go in there, and I see this. There it is, Albert Pike's book. I kid you not, it's that thick. All right? He's a white-haired old man. And anyway, he wrote Morals and Dogma and Freemasonry, a known Satanist, okay? And I'm like, wow, I can't believe that's there. And all this other Masonic Lodge material. Okay, fine. And I went in and I said, hey, pretty. I said, you know, you would never believe what I just found out there. It's stuff we're learning about, you know? Went out there the next day and opened that door up, look in there. The shelves are whoosh, gone. They're clear. Why? Because there's darkness there. That's why. Somebody hauled them out, man. All right? That's what I'm saying. I think of gazing balls. All right? Ladies put those in their flower bed. In an innocent garden ornament, are they? No. They're used in witchcraft. Okay? People say, well, it's made to keep evil spirits away. Well, it does just the opposite. All right? No. Symbols, pentagrams, inverted crosses. The peace sign is wicked. Talk about that later this week, maybe. One night. The peace sign. No, sir. That's the thing. You say, well, all this stuff, you know, it costs a lot. And I bought that at a sale, and I bought this here, and I bought this there. You know what? It's going to cost you a whole lot more to keep it. Why? Why? How? Is your family time full of peace? Is there uneasiness? What could be hindering that? What could be let into that? Would you want anything to do with that? See, Satan doesn't want you to understand his tactics, folks. He doesn't. Why? Because ignorance invites misunderstanding. Misunderstanding invites fear. Complacency's in there somewhere, and absolutely deception. All right? You know what else is very conducive to Satan getting a foothold in your home and life? Entertainment. Horror movies. The Exorcist, bad one. All right? I don't want to watch that. But you know what pulls me in? I just want to see it, some of that so bad because I'm so curious about it. I hate that. That's how we are, though. Yeah. Satanic video games. Minecraft. Minecraft. Dungeons and Dragons. All right? You know why that's so bad? First of all, a lot of symbolism, a lot of witchcraft. Dragons. Who's the dragon anyway? Satan. Okay, but here's the other thing. It is a game that you put yourself into as you're out of yourself, but you're in the character. Who's controlling you? Guys, plain and simple. Harry Potter. I question Lord of the Rings, for sure. Sorcery. Let's talk about sorcery. Sorcery is magic or witchcraft, which operates through material objects. I just talked about symbolism. Through other ways of impacting the physical senses. Satan deals with the physical senses. You know what? First thing they put somebody in the nut house for is they hear voices. Okay? They hear voices. I'm going to tell you something. They really are hearing voices. All right? They really are seeing things float. They really are seeing shadows come across the window. You say, you believe in ghost preachers? Nope. Got a biblical perspective. It's demons. They say, whoa, it's, what do they call it today? Paranormal, whatever. Listen, it's demons, okay? Aren't you so glad we got a book? God tells us what's going on. Amen. We got a book, all right? So, anyway, now, material objects, or they impact the physical senses. Here's an example. Music's one of them, all right? Rob Zombie. Everybody heard of Rob Zombie? And also, some of those other satanic guys. The one fella, I'm just going to tell you, threw the dead puppies in the audience when he was on stage. I forget which guy that was. But why did he do that? Well, it has to do with sacrifice. It has to do with blood. Okay? Nonetheless, those rock groups and those kind of men are... I'm going to tell you right now, they can't sing. Okay? How in the world they ever get to the top of the charts? I'll tell you how. The elites. Well, I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. But again, you know what other example is? Drugs. Drugs. Okay, listen. Christianity is active. It's not passive. When a guy wants to take advantage of a girl, listen to me very clearly. When a guy wants to take an advantage of a girl, okay, on a date, put stuff in her drink, right? That's that kind of thing. Why? Makes her passive. Makes her passive. Oh, whatever. That's what alcohol does, guys. That's what it does. Oh, whatever. Why do people take drugs? Get out of reality. Makes you passive. What's it saying in the scriptures about a house that's clean and then an unclean spirit comes back in it? Right? Makes you passive. Oh, whatever. And anything can come in then. No, Christianity, true Christianity is active. It's a battle, and you know it. The Bible says we're to walk circumspectly. That's like a soldier looking all around, waiting, looking, any rate for the enemy. That's what Christianity is, guys. It's not passivity. Not at all. And that's what drugs do. All right? Takes you out of reality so that anything goes. That's when and that's when then you're susceptible to that kind of thing. Yes, that's what it is. Now, in Mark chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, Satan takes Jesus up on the mountain, right? Or no, yes, up on the mountain, says, I'll give you the whole world, right? Now, I want to tell you what. The celebrities and different things, Beyonce. All right? Katy Perry. Right? Lady Gaga. Leonardo DiCaprio. Those people in Hollywood, well, Weinstein, whatever you want to call him, just came out, pedophilia and all kinds of different things and horrible things that go on in Hollywood. They're the elites. And I want to tell you, it's Satan's network. And he took those people up and he said, give him a high mountain. He says, you want fame? I can give it to you. Literal contracts in blood in that thing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, and it's documented. That's what Satan offers. You can be famous. Go to Deuteronomy. We're going to close here. I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Verses 9 through 11. Listen to God's word here to the Israelites. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that's Canaan, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. You hear that? That's the right of worship. There shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or daughter pass through the fire. That's human sacrifice. Okay? Or that useth divination. Or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits. They conjure up evil spirits, all right? Or a wizard. That's a male witch there. Or a necromancer. Has to do with things with the dead, okay? For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Okay? All those things. Most entertainment today. Movies, music, books, TV shows, clothing. And it's not everything, by the way. I'm naming some things that it is in. Not necessarily that it's in everything. All right? But it's in a lot and you need a discerning eye. Okay? You go to the toys and you look for a doll for your little girl and they got this woman painted with all this black lipstick on and all this thing and she's about that tall and she got this skirt that goes about here, right? And all this, and they want me to buy that for my kid, for my daughter? Are you kidding me? Listen, but that's what it is. And it has all kinds of demonic symbols on it. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And so, they all do nothing more. These things do nothing more than glorify the forbidden practices of Deuteronomy chapter number 18. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove means to tell their faults. That's what we're to do. Could it be that you've got something in your possession tonight that could be giving Satan foothold? I don't know. If you could or you couldn't. In Hosea 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Instead of a restful, peaceful home, you've got strife, contention, fear. Satan is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he wants to devour. How's your prayer life? How's your daily walk? Are you protected tonight? Or are you a target? What's the result? What is the result tonight of submitting and obeying God in these areas? Look at verse 20, if you would. Verse 20 simply says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Do you want that in your home tonight? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 32, verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness. Don't you want that? Quietness and assurance forever. And my people, don't miss it, and my people, this is what God wants for you tonight, for his people. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, a peaceable home. In a quiet resting place and in a sure dwelling. How about it tonight? You must know you're in Christ. You must come to Him daily with a strong walk, seriously minded, prayer, occasionally fasting. You must occasionally do some house cleaning. The old hymn goes, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's stand for prayer tonight. Folks, I went a little bit long tonight. I am not aiming to do that the rest of the week, all right? For sure. Folks, with eyes closed and heads bowed tonight, please honor that. Who would say, "Preacher, God spoke to my heart about some things, and I need His wisdom. There's some things He spoke to me tonight about the message, and I need His wisdom." Would you slip up your hand and let me pray for you? Yes, amen. Yes, yep, across this room tonight. Anyone else? Yes, appreciate that. Yes. Be sure that you know the Lord as your Savior. Be sure that you know Him. Father, I want to thank you tonight for your precious word. And I ask you, God, to work and to move in the hearts of your people tonight. Please have your will and your way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.